This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Kelvin. To keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Lisa?
Yes.
Yes.
I absolutely feel it. Unequivocal.
Spectacular. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So yes, we are back. Beginning of the week here for the Freedom Fiends.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, woohoo!
Yeah, and Food Monday.
Oh, see, I shouldn't even said that because I don't even pay attention to stuff, to weeks and stuff like that because they don't matter to me. I don't get days off regularly, so.
Please do give me more of your unsolicited advice.
Yep.
Well, you're too short and you smell funny.
Head to tail.
You know what I'm going to add? So I'm going to add it. Oh, we have two fiends left and two fiends. Ah! You talk. I spilled something.
I hope you were using your sippy cup. I think what Michael is about to say is two fiends out, two fiends in. So I think we're still at equilibrium.
Oh, really? What? Who's out? Yeah. What?
Well, I think he mentioned it the other last week that Nikki stepped away. She said she was too busy with other things in her life, so she didn't have time anymore. And I believe Shane actually told Michael that over the weekend too. Same thing. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Just doesn't have the time for the fiends, unfortunately. But like I said, normally that would be, you know, very sad. But I mean, it's depressing when anybody leaves. But you know, he quickly replaced them because apparently we have two more people on the way. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Seamus Coughlin, right? Is that his last name? From well, he's one of the Lowbirds. I should know him. Technically, I'm a Lowbird. I've only done one show there. I've never actually worked with Seamus, but he does. I think Freedom Tunes is his. And I know if Jim's listening, he's like screaming at his radio and correcting me constantly. he's coming in. And I can't pronounce her name. It's like Velociraptor. It's all spelled out and weird. I don't know. She's friends with Kyle Molyneux. Down in Virginia. Yeah. I don't know what her
I know who is. She is.
Yeah. Right. I couldn't try to pronounce that name right now if I really tried. So but her, she's coming in. Apparently she does videos and stuff too, and I've heard some of her stuff and so
cool.
Yeah,
I've seen her around and I just became friends with her. But I've seen her around for a while and thought she seemed cool.
Yeah, so
awesome. Worms.
So yay. The fiends just keep trucking along and Michael's still gone, so I'm taking a bet that he didn't use the sippy cup today.
Uh-oh.
You know, one of these days he'll take his own advice and we won't.
I keep my water on the other side of the table, way away from but my laptop's also elevated.
Oh.
Because I, you know, clumsy.
Yeah, see, I drink
clumsiness.
I drink out of one of those sport type like running bottles most of the time anyway, because I just got in the habit of that when I was back a few years ago when I was actually still into running and stuff like that. So I just drink out of them constantly all the time anyway. So I always have one of those next to me, but I'm also very careless, you know, because I usually have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Oh, you're back.
Yeah, I spilled coffee or a cup of tea. I spilled, I broke my rule. I had my sippy cup with a quart of water in it. But then I had like a little 12-ounce bottle of sweetened tea. And I spilled the whole thing, but luckily on the wooden floor, not on equipment.
Oh, that's a lucky break.
Nice call.
And my Wonder Whiff DJ helped me clean it up. So
Wonder Whiff. You could have left some of that. I'm sure the cats would have loved that. All that sugary sweetness.
No. Sugar's bad for cats, isn't it?
I know. In anything more than very tiny doses, it's not the greatest for them.
Some of them don't like it either.
Yeah.
Some of them love it. Yeah.
Yeah, most cats I know are tend more towards like salty things. Although I had a cat who used to try to steal Oreos out of my hand. So,
What is with cats and chewing on plastic bags?
I don't know. They like that obsession. They like to put their kitty feet on the media. Anytime I have papers, they'll sit on papers in the middle of a room on one paper. What do you think, Jeremy? You got paper?
Yeah,
cats?
I don't know. I've looked into this, and I mean, there's a bunch of different theories. I always figured it was something to do with like the sound and maybe the texture of those things, like the paper and plastic, because that is a fascination with a lot of them, you know. And the plastic, you know, most times when I've observed, you know, personally observed cats playing with a plastic bag, you know, it's what, you know, they scratch at it and it makes some noise and then they toss it around. And usually they're just trying to bat it, but then it gets caught on one of their nails. So they like fling it back and forth and then it gets them madder because they think it's trying to attack them and stuff like that. I mean, I like to think a lot of times that cats are smarter than dogs, but then you watch one of them do that and they're like, no, maybe not. Maybe not much more than
we have good good mix.
Excellent.
I can hear Jeremy's baby monitor though, so
I do apologize. That's my bad. I meant to turn that off before we started the show.
So, yeah, kids can turn that down themselves for a couple hours.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
Well, so I was
at 1 a.m.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say I have both the tots, bip tots here tonight. Normally I only have one if any, so
yeah.
I gotta keep an eye on them at least.
Bip
so.
Tots. The bip tots. Licensed humans.
Yeah. The first of their kind, as I recall. As far as I know, they're still the first ones.
Yep. Do you teach them to not like police?
Bad touch, officer.
Yes. Well, they refer to them as road pirates when they see them. Good. Daddy, there's a road pirate. There's a road pirate when to they see name? One before I do.
To them?
No. To, like, if we're driving and they catch one out of the corner of their eye before I do, they're like, Daddy, road pirate. It's great. Nice. Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, I mean, excellent. I've talked about it before. We had some unfortunate run-ins with them, with me and them, where the kids witnessed it. So, you know, I had to explain to them what happened and why Daddy wasn't really the bad guy in that situation.
Yeah, that's scary for kids, too, to see.
Oh, yeah.
Cause my son drives. You know, he started driving a few months ago. I keep telling him, like, just don't get pulled over, please. I don't want to get that phone call.
Did Cash bring a snake over today or something?
Like, what? It's actually Bob the cat.
Oh my gosh.
That was Bob?
Yeah.
What, purring?
Here's my late cat, Charlie.
I value.
Oh wait, that's not.
Wow, your cat Charlie could talk? That's insane.
Charlie's okay, loud.
That I could read. The other one was so, like, I don't know, just.
Sounded like.
It was disjointed. Crickets, it sounded more like a hiss. Yeah.
Yeah, a rattlesnake.
Yeah, maybe.
I was like, so, "What is that? Is that your baby monitor?"
Yeah. So what I was saying before we I spilled things and had to run away. So a few things. One is, I have a whole new pile of bad audio is a hate crime stickers. These are lovely stickers, beautiful, beautiful stickers, and they're $1 each. They're the best. I'm underselling Jim Jesus, who actually designed these, and I went and got some of my own made with his design. He was selling them for a dollar plus an SASE. Do you guys know what an SASE?
Yes, because I'm old enough to remember that. Self-addressed stamped envelope.
Oh, a self-addressed stamped envelope?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's great.
It's a thing. People used to say, yes.
Yeah, I remember
so-and-so,
that.
And, you know, it was before the internet, like, to get information. So, you know.
Yeah, that was shipping back in the day. When you wanted, that was your shipping
And Jim
cost.
Actually did that. Or he said, you know, something like, I think it's, I don't know, maybe $2 if he has to, you know, pay the postage and do the writing of your name on the envelope. I'm selling them for a dollar postage paid in the U.S.
Wow.
So I'm making like a nickel on each one. So I am vastly under.
If I had a nickel for every audio sticker I sold.
Yep. And then
I want to see them.
Yeah. Well, you can.
Well, are they different than Jim's, or they look pretty much identical?
I stole his design.
Oh,
it's covered by the Bibcot, no government license. So
of course it is.
Yeah. And then the other news is we lost two fiends and we're gaining two fiends. Nikki Darling, Darling and Shane, both too busy to do the fiends. And incoming fiends are Seamus, who is a Lulbert. I'm stealing more from Jim. I'm stealing co-hosts from Jim. And Velushka Raptor. Or Valeska Raptor.
That's the name I couldn't even try to pronounce before.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, she has like six names, but that's her that's her on the face beefs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. She's good. So
cool.
And they're both good, and they're both going to be starting coming up soon here. Yep. A week from tonight, Seamus is going to be on. Valushka, we're still sending her equipment. And I also have another Fiend laptop returning to me. I forgot we lent one to Bill Buppert like 2 years ago. And I didn't call him back and say, like, hey, can we have it back now? Because I kept thinking he might come back, you know, because he said, I'm going to take a year off. And this is like 2 years ago. And I just remembered, oh, he's not coming back. So I asked him when he's shipping it to me. And so I'm going to have another one for, you know, that gives us more options. Like if we find someone who's a really good Fiend possibility, but they have, if they're one of the beautiful people who only has a Macintosh and, you know, then all they need to get is a mic. So that's good. That's good.
That is good. Good.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pass around the technology. Keep the Fiendiverse going. You know.
Sisterhood of the traveling microphone.
Exactly. Yep. Hey, you know. I mean, see, I know everybody's situation is different, but I always think about it. I'm like, why do people have such a hard time getting this equipment? I mean, I'm pretty poor. I got two kids. I figured out a way to make this work. I don't get paid for any of this.
It's because people have different priorities, and
I know.
Also, because a lot of libertarians want things done for them. Like, you know, they're like, oh, I'm on Linux. Make this for Linux. And with people on Mac, I understand, oh, you're one of the retarded, beautiful people. There's actually a way. There's a workaround to run Fiendphone on a Mac. It takes a little bit of work and smarts, but it can be done. People have done it on the
one
show.
One of our hosts, Chandler, does it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And James, I can't remember his name. Some guy that used to be on the show.
That guy who was here once.
That guy. Yeah, he was here one day, 1 year. He was here for a day that lasted a year. How's that?
Yeah.
But, and the people who use Linux. Okay, here's the thing. If you use Linux and you're a Linux snob and you don't program, you're a poser. So if you really, if you're on Linux and you think, you snobbily think Fiendphone should be made for Linux, you should make it for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
So don't expect people to do things for you, people, because you're not really a libertarian if you're like that.
Seriously.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
I hope he doesn't quit. But so James Meeks is all upset about something, and I'm not upset about it. What's he upset about? This really isn't about James Meeks. I'm just kind of poking him in a friendly way. And there's horrible video of a great thing, which is James Meeks going into a Libertarian Party event and trying to get credentials to go into the event and being denied credentials. He went in figuring he was going to get denied and had a friend filming it horribly, like filming people's stomachs and legs, and like you can't even see anybody's face. But he was wearing a Bipcot. James was wearing a Bipcot flag as a cape.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's not even a picture of him in the cape. Like,
I saw that thread where he's like, I think somebody took pictures, and then the guy put up, he's like, here's some of the pictures they took, and none of them you could barely make out James in any of those pictures. Like,
photography is a hate crime.
You can see a blue blob across the room or something.
Yeah, or like you could see James's face, and the cape was hidden behind somebody else, or like.
And that wasn't a fat joke that he's a blue blob. I mean, if he's a skinny person. person, it would have been a blue blob. And I'm not skinny.
So, I didn't think you meant that at all.
I'm not skinny, so I can say that. That won't trigger him, but it might trigger him that we're going to talk about something that happened. So what happened? Who did what to whom?
You seem to know more details than I do.
I forget the woman's name, but she's something Risa.
Lisa knows the name.
Yeah.
I think it's Risa. Yeah.
Yes, something like that. She's mm-hmm. in the Libertarian Party, and apparently she made a post on
Facebook. Strike one right there.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, James was a member of the Libertarian Party before his stripping incident. Right. So.
Risa Willis.
There you go, Risa Willis.
Yes.
And apparently she made a Facebook post a couple weeks back, maybe a month now. I don't even remember how long ago it was. But very proudly proclaiming that she had called the cops on somebody who she suspected of being a drunk driver and, you know, swerving all over the road and stuff. And wasn't just saying that she did this. She was kind of seemed antagonistic by saying, "I don't care, you know, I don't care if anybody has a problem with this, you know, blah blah blah." Like, you know, basically egging on the.
She probably did it so she could post it on Facebook and poke libertarians. It sounds like
it's possible, but like, so I don't really know her. I don't know her, so I don't know her motives. But that's what
I'm sticking up for her in this, in a way. But I got to poke everybody. So yeah. Go on.
So a lot of people got very upset about this because there's factions of
because they're self-righteous party libertarians and, who don't use the roads and they think they. You shouldn't call the cops ever.
Well, I mean, I'm normally in that camp for a lot of.
Well, of that, it's a, you know, in and of itself, it's a victimless crime, right? Well, and then Adam Kokesh did a video defending her. Boy, this is why do people care about this crap? Like, this is such he said she said. You know,
well, yeah, but that's what it becomes.
Like all of these people that are complaining about this, like, what have they done for liberty? I'll pull out that card, but.
Well, a lot of people getting angry and arguing over it probably haven't done much. There are people that I know that have got involved in this too. But that's basically how this whole thing started. And then somebody decided to take it upon themselves to get back at her for this because him and people like him see this as an affront to everybody else, basically. And this was just like, this was an aggressive act by her, essentially. So they figure she's fair game to do whatever. And they essentially, I guess, doxed her in a way. She apparently had a porn career at some point, and this got twisted around, I guess, where like she's a teacher. But for the story I heard was that the school knew about it. And it was just basically, as long as this doesn't come up again, we're fine. Like, we'll put this behind us. You can continue working here. We're not going to fire you, type of thing, whatever.
I see nothing.
So when this guy decided to put it up and make it.
Who is he? You know, who's he? Give me his eight names. Who is he?
Juan Julio Danny. I don't really know his actual name.
I don't know. Exactly, like,
I didn't hear any of those. I was talking over him. And let me preface this with, I'm not doxing him. This is a matter of public record. This is, you know,
exactly. That's kind of the point they were making. Her movies were a matter of public record as well.
What's his name?
Danny Javier, I think, is the name he goes by.
And what's the other name he goes by?
Oh, no, I have
there's
to remember
Mark
all of them.
Whitehall, I think. And yeah. Danny Blodgett. Yeah.
There's socks upon socks upon socks, but that's not rare in these circles. So, but anyway, so he just
in what circles? Internet
libertarian anarchist circles. It's not really uncommon for people to have multiple Facebook accounts because they're constantly getting banned and kicked off Facebook for agitating people.
Yeah.
So. You know?
All right. More on this when we come back. We didn't even finish the story, let alone comment on it.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
I think so.
Yeah.
Alright, so anybody wants to talk to this guy in person? What's his name? Javier?
That's what the name is in this article. And that's the name they use.
Danny Javier.
Too. Well, he'll probably be at the Michigan Peace and Liberty Festival, so.
Most likely.
You go have a beer with him and tell him what you think. shake his hand and congratulate him.
In fairness, he does make some delicious ghost pepper chocolate.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Oh, I know what ghost peppers are.
Yeah.
That's spicy.
Oh, yeah, but it was fantastic. I had a bunch of it. Well, I was there this past year. It was quite good. He was carrying around a giant bucket of it, just handing it out. So.
Wow, yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of different things here, different aspects. So first of all, you know, I guess his complaint is that she violated the non-aggression principle by calling the police. Was that it?
I don't know if that was the argument, essentially, but I guess essentially it could be boiled down to something of that nature. I mean, basically, yeah. It was an act of aggression because she's calling in the people who are likely to hurt somebody more than
help. She's working as a public school teacher. Doesn't that violate, like, all the laws of libertarian purists who live in their mother's basements, probably? I don't know if he does, but I get irked. I don't even get upset. I just get irked, mildly irked at people who... I don't even know how to describe it. Like everything is an argument of the nuance of the non-aggression principle. You know, and if you drive on public roads, you know, there's people that say you break the non-aggression principle. You know, there are... And Adam Kokesh, who's a jerk, actually made a YouTube video in her defense that, you know, calling the police was okay because they have a monopoly on doing things on the roads. I can think of more reasons why I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't call the cops if I saw a drunk driver. You know, I'd probably call the cops if I saw somebody holding a gun to someone's head driving a car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like eminent threat to life. I mean, what would Danny, you know, what's his name? Xavier?
Danny Xavier?
Yeah. Yeah. What would he do in that situation? You know, call cell 411 and get some people together. Maybe if that would work. I mean, who knows where she was driving, but, I've been doxxed and it totally flew. Then there's the argument of, like, is doxxing someone a violation of the non-aggression principle? Ian Freeman says no. Ian Freeman says there would be no crime in a libertarian paradise in blackmail also. You know, Ian Freeman also makes an argument that, you know, child pornography should not be illegal, which is like the one argument that most libertarians won't even have, but he'll have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's actually his argument. I think his argument is that age of consent laws shouldn't exist. I'm sorry what I said the other thing. I was pasting something onto him that was not connected to him. That was that's quite a thing to paste. No, because
that's somebody else's argument.
His house was raided. You know, I guess I'm being like duped by like mixing things up in my memory the way the state wants you to. Of like, the FBI came and took his computers because they said there were child porn on it. Most people right there would condemn somebody and say, well, that guy should be being raped in prison for 20 years. I don't agree because, you know, basically what it comes down to is Ian lets anybody come in his house and use his 5 computers or whatever. It's kind of like a drop-in center for, you know, people new to Liberty, people new to New Hampshire. He's very friendly with that. And so anybody could have come in and used his computers and access that. I don't even know if it was one of his computers. I think it was with his IP address. You know, people come in, he has an open router, or he gives out the password. So, you know, there's a lot of arguments they kind of take everything to the limit. And I pretty much take everything to the limit. I believe, yeah, that, you know, rifles should be available in vending machines next to the crack vending machines.
How would you get them in there? Or out, actually.
I know, I'm trying to visualize that too.
They're big bullets in a vending machine.
Like, I like the idea, Fest, but... So.
And I don't think they sold very well at Pork Fest because I think everybody already brought their own. I would have bought some just because it would be neat to buy bullets in a vending machine. But
yeah, I would have.
So being doxxed, for people who don't know, is having like private information released to the public. Here's the idea with doxxing. I believe doxxing is a pussy way of violating the non-aggression principle without violating the non-aggression principle. I think it's proxy violating. I think it's proxy aggression because I believe that the unspoken suggestion with doxxing is I don't have enough balls to go throw a brick through this person's window, but here's their address and they're horrible and you should hate them. I really think that's what doxxing is encouraging. You know, I think it's people saying I'm not crazy enough or gutsy enough to do something violent to this person. You know, here, have at it. I've been doxxed. My address and phone number, all that stuff's out there. Like someone doxxed me and they went further than that. Like they said horrible things about my daughter who died of cancer. They said just absolutely reprehensible things about her. I mean, this is a person who wanted to really poke people and piss them off. And it wasn't just me. It was like this person doxxed like 40 people.
Wow.
And it was all people connected with Stefan Molyneux. It was people that like he used to be a fan of Stefan Molyneux, and then he got kicked off of the forum, Stefan Molyneux's forum, for being creepy. You know, I guess Stefan Molyneux wants a monopoly of that or something. So he kicked this guy off and so this guy, Damon, went and made videos and a website doxing everyone he could find who was like close in the Stefan's, you know, inner circle and like the ring just outside the inner circle, like 40 people, and said horrible things about them. And then also then for some reason started going after critics of Stefan Molyneux. It made no sense. Mm. You know, the guy was just twisted and wanted to cause people pain. And I got really upset about it for a while. And then I finally like kind of got over it and had this weird epiphany. And the weird epiphany made me want to make, you know, .bip, which was my plan for the first line on the .bip white paper was, I want to make something that's so uncensorable that not even I can censor it if people say horrible things about me. As the maker of this thing, I don't want to be able to censor it no matter what you say about me. And then I said, I believe that's the truest definition of free speech. And I believe it is. You know, the other problem I have with a lot of people in liberty, and I think from what this guy did, he suffers from it. First of all, is deciding you're the libertarian police, which I think he did. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm probably going to catch hell for this tomorrow. I'm going to probably get doxxed. People are going to stop listening to the show, whatever. I don't care. This is, I say what I believe on here. The second thing, I think it's really small for people to spend their whole life deciding black and white what is and what is not a violation of the non-aggression principle. Because I guarantee anybody has violated it in their life at some point, probably in the not too distant past, and probably a lot with convenience. Like, you know, okay, well, you know, is using the post office endorsing government aggression? I would say yes, because, you know, you can say it's not on the roads because you really can't get from point A to point B on private roads, but there are alternatives. You know, you can go send a letter UPS. You can pay a few bucks extra and send a letter UPS, but I don't think people do it. You know, do these people pay their taxes? Some people don't. Ian Freeman doesn't. He's been bragging about it on radio for 10 years and hasn't gotten in trouble yet. I commend him. I just did my taxes today. It was horrible. I remember my wife was filling stuff out. My wife was filling stuff out, and the cat came in, and she was talking to the cat, and the cat was meowing at her, and she said, oh, what am I doing? I'm being raped by the government, and I'm helping.
Truth.
Yeah, you got to teach your cats well, you know. But, you know, we do it because it's less painful than losing things we have. And you know, Ian could be an argument that you don't lose things you have, but I think eventually Ian's probably going to end up in prison for tax evasion. I see it as inevitable, you know. I mean, there's people who, like, you know, don't pay taxes and then brag to a buddy at work about it, and the buddy turns them in, and they get caught for it. Ian's been bragging about it on 170 radio stations for you know, 6 or 10 years. So I don't see how they're.
That's pretty bold. Yeah, he's pretty bold. He's on the list.
Ian's my inspiration. I've only been doing it for two, but
I like Ian a lot too. But you know, do you think Ian? Yeah, he's. I want to be like. I want to have the FBI take my computers.
Well, obviously,
thank you.
I knew about him and his public stance on taxes long before that happened. So
to me, everything is. What's the word for it? A cost-benefit analysis?
Yep.
Is that the term?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which sounds really callous when it comes down to people. Like, you know, but for me, it's a cost-benefit analysis of paying taxes versus, you know,
the worst case scenario
in your house.
And
another thing, too, is like, you know, I've done things of like, you know, registering... you know, businesses, which is definitely like, oh, that's the government. But it's like, it allows me to write off, you know, a lot of the gear I buy. And I like buying gear, you know, and I make a little money with the gear. So I declare it. And it's perfectly legal.
Oh,
it's
course.
Unauditable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I like gear. So
I did the same thing when I started my company, when all the, you know, all the stuff that I had to buy up front and any equipment and things that I needed, even my car. And there was ways, you know, perfectly legal ways to go about, right? I was able to write off my part of my house because it was used for my business. So like,
I can write off 10% or 15% because I use one room entirely.
Exactly.
For stuff that makes money.
Yeah. I was able to do like 50% 1 year. I think we did 60%, but
Your lighting and of your heating, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to go down that road, then sure, there are tons of ways that you could make use of that. And, you know, if you're going to be in that position, I don't see a problem with people doing that.
I don't proudly pay taxes. I'm like, ugh. You know?
No, yeah. But you loathe them, as you should.
So everything, this is definitely going to go into one or two more segments, but, you know, everything comes down to cost-benefit analysis, and I would bet that most people who make big grandstanding, I'm not just picking on Danny Xavier. Is it Xavier? Javier. Danny Javier. You know, there's a lot of people that point out other people's foibles when, you know, they have six names so you can't even find out anything about them.
Yep.
I'd like to define as well.
Class houses.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
People doxing or just doing things like playing like the libertarian police. So this guy Danny Javier, is that it?
Yeah,
yes.
I don't want to get it wrong. All right, because I can't tell, because, you know, like we said, this guy uses 3 or 4 different names, so, you know, probably so people can't dox him easily, you know? Think about that. Like,
probably. Like
this guy isn't using his real name. He's using a bunch of names. And, you know, he's calling other people out, but, you know, it'd be hard to pin something on him. But, you know, hey, if you have something on him, send me an email. We'll talk about it. We'll do a public service. So I can think of, like, first of all, what he did is just him masturbating. You know, it's just him getting off. It's not going to stop anyone from calling the cops. It's going to stop people from bragging about it on Facebook. You know,
I thought of the same thing. Like, why did she post that in the first place? And you know, now, and
here's what I'd rather. It's kind of like the bake the cake. You know, like the libertarian argument of, I'm not racist, but I'd rather have it be legal to not serve certain races or certain groups because then you know who to avoid.
Yes.
You know, now if you're pushing down everyone's bad behavior by doing horrible things to them and ruining their life, you know, really ruining their life. First of all, libertarians do this stuff more than other people and get away with it because non-libertarians would freaking kill you for this. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if you weren't in the libertarian world and you did this, like that woman or her husband or her sister or brother or somebody would track this guy down and put him in the hospital.
Yeah.
That is really common outside of liberty. In liberty, you know, people can do a land scam and end up with like 30 people's life savings missing and then like throw big parties and people think they're heroes. Yeah. Throw big parties probably with the money.
Right.
And people think they're big heroes.
That doesn't sound like anybody I know.
That doesn't sound familiar at all. I didn't know exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. Right, so,
but, you know, libertarians live in this bubble where, like, retaliation is a violation of the non-aggression principle, so you're not supposed to do
I don't know. I hate
physical, physical retaliation.
Well, no, I was just gonna say the whole bubble thing, like, because to me it's like, is that such a bad thing though? Like, it's the libertarian social order that most people would like to see expanded into a greater use. So
with the guy who ended up, I won't say cheating, but, you know, 30 people gave him their life savings, a total of $7 million. And then he was like, oops, I don't know what happened. Those people aren't even suing him because you're not supposed to in liberty. There's no, you know, libertarian court that everyone agrees to abide by. Like, you get away with that stuff in liberty. I can't believe it. It's liberty is a great hiding ground for sociopaths. You know, and this guy looks like he might be one to me.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, at some point there has to be recourse. So I understand the whole social ostracization thing. You know,
like, that's the end of this article too. Is, you know, like, it's time to disassociate from Danny Javier.
But see, that's that's where part of the problem lies, though, because essentially
it doesn't get the job done.
Well, no, but it's that may be true as well. But I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, the problem here lies with the tactics that he used or anybody uses in this particular situation, because you know, when you think about it, it really is a pretty fine line. There can be a fine line between going out of your way to hurt somebody, or, you know, the way that you view this, and, you know, maybe a lot of people, including the person who wrote this article, view this situation. But for other people, taking down somebody who they think has already committed some act of aggression is essentially just an act of ostracization. You know, so like, where is that? That's where it becomes a problem, because it's very subjective.
I don't know. He's got
people.
This S-eating grin on his face in this picture, and I'll bet that's the grin he's got in his face after ruining this person's life, too.
Yeah, right. Because where does it end? Because now someone could try to, you know, ruin his life, and then what? It just keeps going and going. It has to end somewhere. Yeah.
Something too. Like, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say. If he responded to something like that by getting mad and crying because somebody attacked him, then that would be one thing. But if he's fully prepared to take the repercussions of what he did, I have a hard time.
I totally didn't make a dox site of the guy who doxed me. By the way, nope, I didn't. Nope.
If you did, I wouldn't blame you.
Well, that'd be, you know, equal force, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's force at all.
And it was particularly bad.
Nope, don't. I did not make DamonDox.com.
No.
Nope.
don't look for it during the break.
Don't look for it. Don't go to Damon, D-A-M-O-N.
There's so many, more things you could do at that time. Yeah. Don't do it.
Tweet about Danny Javier.
Don't do it. Exactly.
Don't go to DamonDocs.com.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIVCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIVCOT.org.
Objectively true.
So I'm told.
So we're talking about doxing and libertarians who are more libertarian than thou, so they get to be the libertarian police. We're talking about Danny Javier Blodgett. Is that his name? I don't know. He's got so many names. It's hard to tell. Danny Javier Blodgett, who commonly goes by Danny Javier. According to this article, how a libertarian jerk ruined another libertarian's career. And I'm not against calling people out. I'm calling him out. I do it all the time. I've called out. I usually punch up. You know, I usually do it with more popular libertarians than me. In this case, I'm punching down. I'm doing it to a less popular libertarian. By the way, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So if anybody's got any information about Danny Javier that he probably wouldn't want people to know, I'd like to know it. Just let me know. I'm not saying I'm going to dox him. I'm not saying I'm going to let people know. Just let me know. You know, I want to know what this guy's like. I reserve the right to do whatever I want because, you know, I'm a libertarian. That's how he feels. But so he ruined this woman's life by... I don't know if ruin the life is made her life difficult for a while. Ruining someone's life, I mean, is like irreparable harm. You know, I think that you can find a new career, but ruining someone's ability, and she probably can't get a job as another teacher now. He, you know, made a big fuss of the fact that she was in some porn films a long time ago. I would also say that's a pretty cheap, that's a pretty unlibertarian thing to dox someone about, because there's absolutely nothing unlibertarian about that. You know, like, I don't know, if you have evidence that somebody like beat their kids or something, like that might be something to dox someone about. You know, as he grabbed any ammunition he could, and he grabbed ammunition that like wouldn't matter. Basically, you know what he did? He used statists and got statists to use their aggression against her. You know, if that's aggression. So, you know, if there's anything aggressive, and he apparently thinks there is, because he's using it as a weapon, then he's using statists as his, useful idiots.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I haven't heard anyone make. Yep. But, yeah. So, first of all, it won't stop the behavior, because it's just going to make people hide their behavior. I'd rather know who's doing reprehensible behavior and just say, hey, that person's doing dumb stuff, stay away from them, which is what I do, and it doesn't stop anything. Like, I've railed for 100 hours on this show about, you know, Stefan Molyneux, Adam Kokesh, Jeff Berwick, and, you know, other libertarian idiots. And it hasn't swayed many people from any of them. It swayed a couple people who told me they were getting really culty with Stefan Molyneux, and they thanked me for it. I I feel like my job's done there, even if we lost a third of our listeners. And I was thinking the other day, like, you know, we're a great show and people who love the show love the show. And the reason we're not more popular is because we've gone after like six or seven libertarian stars who all failed to. I would say Ian Friedman's the only libertarian. Ian and Mark are some of the only two like big name ones who really live up to like being someone to like, you know, like Larkin Rose is horrible. All of them are horrible. All of the big ones, most of the big ones. You know, Lou Rockwell, hero to many, turned out to be a Trump licker, you know?
Yes.
So like all these people, like wait, like of the six or seven people I've railed against on this show over the last 5 years, you know, everybody likes one of those people. So, and feels strongly about them. So, you know, what's left is our audience.
We like to eat sacred cows for breakfast. Yep,
so. We do. And it doesn't make you popular.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. You know, and I believe strongly, you know, and the funny thing is too, is like people rail at me for that. They're like, oh, you're dividing liberty. How dare you do about that? Those people are, you know, they're like I'm harming liberty by yelling about Stefan Molyneux. Here's the thing. Those same libertarians are the people who always say, you know, when you say, well, what would replace the FDA in libertarian paradise? They're like, oh, well, you know, people saying that drug is bad, don't use it, and like, you know, calling out. And so when you do that to people, or like, you know, how would you avoid, you know, how would you protect the environment without the EPA? Oh, well, people would hate and, you know, write terrible blogs about the people that dump battery acid in the river, you know. But when you or people who, you know, how would you keep your kids out of a cult without the government? You know, oh, you'd point out that they're running a cult. And when I do it about Stefan Molyneux, the same people say, but you're ruining liberty. And, you know, let me take an aside here on the same people that blah, blah, blah. So there's this movie, Dear White People, you know, that's like, I looked at the trailer. I wasn't even that offended. It looked like Animal House with black people. I mean, it didn't look like a call to violence. It looked like humor to me. But, like, I don't know, something like a million people have canceled their Netflix account. And so they're basically trying to economically pressure Netflix. And the same people that are trying to get Netflix to remove a movie are the same people complaining that the left tries to censor Milo.
I was going to say that. They're such hypocrites. They're all little special snowflakes. I mean, they're freaking out about Starbucks and all these other things. And it's like, do you even realize what a hypocrite you sound like?
Well, yeah. I know a lot of anarchists that were dropping Netflix, not because of the, because apparently right before the whole Dear White People thing became a really big thing, there was the announcement that Soros bought into huge into Netflix, I believe. So a lot of anarchists I know were freaking about that, and like a bunch of my friends like were all announcing they were dropping Netflix, and I'm like, I really don't care enough about Soros. I'm like,
do you think my $10 is going to make Soros go, oh, I'm sorry, I'll become a libertarian?
I want to go.
Do you think Soros cares if a billion? If do you think Soros is going to stop what he's doing if Netflix goes out of business? No.
No,
he's gonna keep being horrible. I hit the wrong button. That was not thank you for your service. He's gonna keep being horrible. You know, I mean, what is he now? 108. He's gonna keep drinking the blood of children until he's 190. Man, and doing horrible stuff like that. It'll never stop.
He's got a hand in a lot of things, and to avoid all of them would be
including
impossible.
Children's blood. Not a guarantee. Shut up, app.
I hear Braden back there.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed? Oh, he's going to be on. It's a week from tonight. I don't know.
Oh, I saw that on the schedule. I was like, that's exciting. Yeah. He hasn't been around for a while.
We'll try again with his internet. So he upgraded his internet. So I noticed something today. Here's an aside, too. When I kind of hate that Facebook, and, you know, I can't complain. It's free. So Facebook... When someone's typing a reply to you, you see three dots moving.
Yes.
I don't like that they've added that, because it used to, it keeps me on the site more. That's why they do it. You know, it used to be if someone was replying to me, I'd go do something else, and an hour later, 2 hours later, 5 hours later, I'd log in and I'd see what they'd written and reply. That's how it should work. But they want to keep you glued to it. But here's something I noticed today when James Weeks was writing to me about, you know, what a victim Javier is, or something like that. Like, no, like James Weeks was writing me saying, like, this, you know, basically this lady deserved what she got. And I hope I'm not, I don't think James Weeks hides the fact that he believes that. I really don't.
I think he was pretty open about that.
But the thing I noticed, because I was really like, exact, like, I didn't care about any of this at that point. And until I looked into it. Thanks, James. So you've alerted me to this, and I spent 2 hours talking about it, about how you're wrong. But so when those three dots are moving, watch them. They move up and down in series. You know what they are, I think? I think they're like a front view of three fingers drumming impatiently. Think of that next time you see it, and you'll instantly get it.
Yeah, I don't like it either, because like you said, it keeps me waiting, because I'll get ready to close the window, and then I'll see somebody is typing a message, and I'm like, wait a minute, I gotta see what they're saying.
It's brilliant. I can't leave yet. And that whole site is set up like crack. Soros probably owns it, too, if not the CIA. But, you know, I wonder, too, about that movie, Thank You, White People, or Shut Up, White People, or F You, White People. What's it called?
I haven't seen it. I think it's called Hate White People, or something.
I wonder if the outrage is manufactured, like if that's the new marketing.
You know, it seems like that about so many things lately. I roll my eyes at all this stuff. There
was like a part of the backlash was that the writer of that show tweeted, you know, F white people, seriously, F white people, you know, about like Hillary losing. And that was an example of why this movie's racist. The guy who wrote that is not a writer. That was like someone who falsely said, like, you know, writer on this movie on his Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are colleges that are teaching classes now about how to, you know, about white privilege.
Link bait. How to link bait your white privilege.
Yeah. How to control it, and how to, and of course, men too. Like, if you're a white man now, you're just the devil. You need to rein that in.
You're a white man.
Not in Wyoming, Montana, or Idaho. Not valid in Wyoming, Montana, or Idaho. Yeah, I live in Wyoming.
You're good there.
I am good there. I'm really glad I live here. I really am. The more the states near the sea start to like burn, you know, like, and sorry about
like
you
where
guys.
I am. Yeah, sorry
about you guys.
The two of us.
I'm still working on it. I'm trying to get further inland.
Yeah, you're gonna move to Ohio, which is even more of a police state.
No,
are you? You're going to Ohio.
I still think you should look at the Mountain West, man.
And, well, it's, I don't know, you only can go so far, I think, right? Yeah.
So the name of this episode, the link baity name of this episode is going to be when should a libertarian call the cops? Man, that is going to get, you know what? It's going to get a bunch of people like yelling at us who never listened to it. That's what it's going to get.
Yeah, isn't that fun when someone you never interact with just comes out of the blue to tell you?
That's why I have 400 people. That's why I have 400 people on my block list on Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah, 390. Let's not exaggerate here. 391.
I think I have like five.
I have a lot.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, Bip Strong bracelets, Bip Cut stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BipCut. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BipCut.org. That's BipCut.org.
I just picture his cats looking at him like, dude.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
I don't think they recognize that as meowing. Although, those two recordings of cats on the app, they flip over. They can tell.
When we're silly about it, maybe, but I don't know. My cat, I used to converse with my last cat, Beezer. Him and I used to talk back and forth. If I meowed at him a certain way, he would respond to me, and we would go back and forth at each other. I had no idea what he was trying to say to me, but it was, you know, it was cute. It was like, yeah. Apparently, it got a frequency that he liked.
Have you seen the video where somebody took cats meowing and dubbed in cats saying, hey? If every time a cat was meowing, if they were actually saying, hey, I'll find it and I'll post it for you guys. It's very funny.
So I'm gonna update the app after the two new fiends are well ensconced and add them saying some things. But something I'm going to add that I should add that I didn't think of is that line of me in the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, where I'm playing a cop busting a guy for selling raw milk, and I'm holding a gun to his head and I'm saying, on your knees, you dirty hippie.
Yeah.
That's got to be in the state speeches, hate speech section. And we do have state speeches, hate speech stickers for $1. I mean, bad audio is a hate crime stickers. I have state speech too. They're $1 also. Mm-hmm. It'll be in the show notes tonight. So we're talking about this guy, Danny Javier. What's his name? Let's give his full name. I want to give his full name every time because he seems.
I don't know his full name.
Danny.
Well, Danny Blodgett. This article, Danny Javier.
Danny Javier Blodgett, who commonly goes by Danny Javier. So this guy called. This guy called the anarchy cops on some lady for calling the cops. So this lady called the cops on a drunk driver and was proud about it and posted about it. First of all, if I ever had to call the cops, I wouldn't be proud about it. I'd be like, ugh, I called the cops. This is going to be a really link-baity article or podcast because we're going to call the podcast of this radio show episode, When Is It Okay for a Libertarian to Call the Cops? And of course, you know, all the newly minted libertarians who live in their mother's basement and Danny Blodgett are gonna say never. I can give times I'd absolutely call the cops. Here's I got a question for Danny Blodgett, Danny Javier, and there should be a name for this because it's a fallacy. You know, if somebody tried to kill a member of your family and they were in terrible shape, you know, first of all, would you call 911? If you did, you'd be calling the police because the police would come. Or would you just call 411 and call your friend who has a first aid kit next door if somebody's bleeding to death?
Well, for me personally, I don't have to have those. I have more than those options, luckily. Because when there's a medical emergency, I call the fire department, which is voluntarily. We have volunteer fire departments out here on Long Island.
Okay.
And
well, here's
they have a better response
on,
time.
I'm on a rant.
Go ahead.
You know, secondly, like if you've got a dead body in your house, you know,
if
you killed someone in self-defense, I'm not saying you should call the police if you kill someone in self-defense in your home, but I'm asking Javier, you know, would he just dispose of the body or would he call his lawyer and then call the cops? What would he do? Also, I think that there should be a name for that. Well, if your family was blah, 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 I think that should be called, appeal to family. I think that should be the name of that fallacy. And it's kind of a valid question, but it's kind of people's go-to the point where it's a fallacy. You know, what would you do if...
Well, it's usually just an appeal to emotion, but yeah, it could be an appeal to family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's such a specific and common appeal to emotion, but
like the appeal to my
I want to know if there's never a situation where Danny Javier would call the cops. You know, if it was a crime, you know, not a what he considers a victimless crime. And, you know, whether or not drunk driving is a victimless crime or not is a big argument. You know, this article, I really hate how everything's about the Libertarian Party now. Like this article says, it's a big argument, you know, whether that's a crime, victimless crime or not in the Libertarian Party. And I'm like, well, it's also a big argument in libertarianism, which the Libertarian Party is at this point a pretty tiny part of.
Yeah, but who's the who's the writer? I mean, depending
some guy in the Libertarian Party who thinks that driving is a real crime.
Exactly. So that's why that's where their perspective is coming from. The party. They don't think outside the party.
Here's the reason. Yeah, I would go to the cops if I got robbed because insurance does not work unless you file a police report. But I also wouldn't go to the cops. I wouldn't declare insurance on, you know, small things, too. It'd have to be something pretty big.
Yeah, like a car.
Yeah, or some.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Still talking about when is it okay for a libertarian to call the cops? I actually thought of an even better link-baity upbeat. I think I'm going to use this instead and save that for another show. I think this show is going to be called Let He Who Has Never Violated the Nap Cast the First Docs.
That's great.
And again, I have an open call for anything that Danny Javier has done.
You're
going
to have to write that down.
Violated the non-aggression principle or is just embarrassing. I want to know about it. And, you know, hey, anybody can say the same thing about me because I say everything embarrassing that I do on radio. So, what did you say about writing it down there, Jeremy?
The title. I'm like, that's long. I'm going to have to write that. That's going to get written down.
Oh,
so I
you're doing the
interview. Yeah, it's my night. Editing.
I'll send it to you. I'll write it out. Or did you write it out?
I got most of it already. I think I'm good. I think we're good.
All right. Yeah. So we talked about, you know, first of all, I would not call the cops if I saw someone driving drunk. I have seen someone probably driving drunk recently, and all I did was let him get way in front of me and just stayed behind, you know, stayed so I could barely see him in front of me, behind him. You know, so I can say I wouldn't call the cops in this case. You know, somebody was weaving insanely in front of me, you know, probably three or 4 months ago with DJ and I. We were just like, lay back, let him get in front of us. I can think of reasons not to call the cops other than it violates the non-aggression principle. You know, this article made a good point, too. Danny Javier was acting like a liberal Democrat. That's what they do. They try to ruin people's lives. That is the M.O. I wouldn't be surprised if this guy's a leftist libertarian, because that's the M.O. Of liberals these days. It's what they do. You know, it's not so much what conservatives do. And I'm not sticking up for conservatives, but that is, you know, Twitter campaigns to destroy people's lives. That's the playbook. That's the Saul Alinsky Internet 2.0 version playbook these days. So I can think of other reasons not to call the cops that are really good reasons. One is my first thought, if I ever think of calling the cops, and I don't call the cops. Last time I called the cops was before I was a libertarian. And here's a mind twister for Danny Javier. The reason I called the cops is because my upstairs neighbor, who lived directly above me, was beating his 8-month pregnant wife.
Wow.
What do you do in that? What do you do in that case? I actually went up several times and was like, you know, I went up as a noise complaint thing. I didn't say stop beating your wife because I didn't want to get thrown off a 6-story building, you know. But you know, I went up there a bunch of times and I called the cops on him finally. And this has got it. And this is way before I was a libertarian. This is like 1990 or before I identified as a libertarian. You know, they say you're born one, but this was 1995 or 1996 in San Francisco, and something good came out of it. I looked this lady up recently. She is divorced, has the 2 kids, and is working at a women's shelter. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
I thought about contacting her and saying, you're welcome, but I never did because she was like threatening me, like, hey, leave us alone, you know, because I'd like she put a note in my mailbox that was pretending to be from some other neighbor, like saying, we're going to have to go to the police if you keep harassing your neighbors in 6B or whatever, you know, like she was totally Stockholm syndrome about it. But, you know, I think that this had something to do probably with her, you know, getting help and getting away from him. So another reason not to call the cops is because they'll come and beat you up more likely statistically. I don't know who, I can't back this up, but it's pretty common these days that
when
you call the cops, they don't come and help you or get the bad guy. They come and, you know, beat you up, arrest you, or kill you, or kill your dog.
Yeah, so, there have been cases. I've written articles about things like that where a family has called the police because they've had a family member who's having some kind of episode. Yeah. Right. And the police end up coming and, you know, shooting their child or whatever. Who's troubled. But I have a question. My son is 16. He was robbed on New Year's Eve. You know, and I wasn't there, of course, but, you know, the kids, they were in front of a friend's house and that friend's mother called the police. So, you know, that kind of situation, what would a person do? I mean,
well, I wouldn't call the cops in that situation because I wouldn't get robbed because I never go anywhere without another person with both of us being armed. So it's pretty hard to get the drop on two.
When you were 16 though,
I don't know what that means.
Minor, I don't know.
I don't know what that is.
I've never been that. I've always been 52 years old.
Oh, I see. Okay.
My whole life. No, I don't know. I just don't know. I try to tell my mother to move somewhere that's not as crime ridden and near the ocean and full of liberals where you can carry a gun when you turn 18. Actually, most places you can't carry a pistol legally until you're 21, but a lot of places this is little known. You can actually open carry a rifle when you're 16. There was a homeschooled kid in Idaho that was being bullied that started doing that. I read a really heartwarming article about it. That's pretty funny. He started carrying, like, you know, a .22 rifle slung over his
back. Wow,
nice.
That's beautiful. Yeah. I like it. Yeah, beautiful. That's great. Good.
So the other, let's see, other reasons not to call cops. They'll beat you up. You know, here's what I could totally see happening if you called the cops for a drunk driver. I could see the drunk driver getting away, the cop pulling you over. You know, they can find out where you are by your cell phone pretty close. Pulling you over and then, like, hammering you for information. You know, like, what was the car? What was the license plate? Where was he going? What was he doing? You know, to the point where, like, they're treating you like a suspect. I could absolutely see that happening.
Sure.
You do it in real time like that, and then you could exacerbate the problem where not only if the person gets away, but the person who could be drunk and swerving, but really focused on just trying to get back to their house or wherever it is they're going.
Yeah.
And now the cops come flying up behind them, and now they panic and they step on the gas and they end up going on a drunken car chase instead of just trying to get home. And then more people get hurt.
With cops. Another thing that we talked about during the break, Lisa and I, was the possibility of a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. You know, this person could be having a stroke. They could be trying to pull over. They could be, you know, having heart palpitations and trying to get off the next exit to go to the hospital that's around the corner. In that situation, the cops, you know, would probably end up killing the person by accident or by shooting them. You know, either by
or just detaining them and not allowing them to get to the hospital.
Panicking them or detaining them. Yeah, all sorts of things. So
that's true.
There's a lot of reasons not to call the cops. There's very few reasons to call the cops. I wouldn't call the cops the way I got robbed either. I'd go to the cop shop with a list of what got robbed and file a police report. I don't want police in my house. I've had police in my house. It's uncomfortable, at least.
Yeah.
And they're always on a fishing expedition. Even if you have nothing illegal, they're looking around. They're always looking around like, what can we bust this person on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened to me when my house I was renting got broken into years ago. And they came and they were nice to me, but one of them was telling me to set up these booby traps around the windows. And I'm thinking, that's not legal.
Cops told you that?
Yeah, one did. There were two of them there. One of them doing fingerprinting and asking questions. The other one said, you ought to set up, if you're going to stay in this house, this neighborhood's a little, it's illegal.
That's incredibly illegal everywhere. And
yeah, what if a firefighter had to come?
Probably for good reason. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, not illegal for good reason, but it's bad practice for good reason. And right. That's it. Like, the firemen, you know, are going to get killed when they're trying to get you to put out the fire in your house. So
yeah, couldn't believe it.
The guy that trained me and my wife on pistols when we first got pistols I don't even know when that was. It was there like 10, 11 years ago, something like that, in California. After someone broke into our house and I wanted to buy guns, my wife was against it. I said, well, you don't have to get one, but I'm buying one. You know, unlike most males in California, I have two working testicles. So I said, I'm going to buy guns even though you don't want me to. Because I care about us. And she, you know, kind of didn't really want to go, but went along with me and shot him and was like, I want some of these and I want more of these. You know, like, and now she carries a Glock in her purse 24/7.
Nice.
You know, so I'm almost always with her when I'm out. So, you know, it's hard to get the drop on two people. Yeah. Someone's going to rob somebody. Generally, solo people get robbed, or like young lovers on a date who are oblivious and like kissy kissy and not looking around them.
Yep.
I have really good situational awareness. So does my wife. So it's really rare. Like, muggings are extraordinarily rare in Wyoming. The state has about the national average of violent crime, but most of it is family violence or
oh, gosh.
I don't know why that's funny, but I just you know rednecks in weird
that's
you know,
what I was picturing.
Like rural states, yeah, or it's like, you know, drug deals gone bad, kind of like it's drug violence that wouldn't exist if drugs were legal.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
yeah.
So if anyone's got any information that's juicy about Danny Javier, again, I'd like to
prepare
know.
Prepare your inbox.
You know, ignore the fact that we're on, you know, 32 syndicated radio stations nationwide. Just, I'd like to know. You know, really, I do kind of want to know if this guy is perfect enough to, like, cast stones that big at someone. I want to know, you know, if his life, if he's such a perfect libertarian and such a perfect person, you know, if he's never done anything really, really wrong to somebody, that he gets to be this kind of judge and jury, this judge, Judy, and executioner.
Judge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm right, curious too.
You got any more on this? Move on. Dear white people.
So what is that show about anyway? Did you watch it? Is it a show or a movie? What is it?
I watched the trailer. It's a series produced by Netflix, and it's, I don't know, it's something black people and liberal white people will like, because it, you know, it's like making up for hundreds of years of injustice by, you know, the black people have the upper hand and they're being pushy and yelling at white people is what it looks like to me in the trailer.
Great. Oh, I think I'll skip it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll skip it, but I'm not going to cancel Netflix. Netflix is one of the most libertarian things that there is. Really, because it's like,
I dig it.
You're paying for the service. It doesn't really, you know, it doesn't. Copyright enters into it, but not in a way you see, you know? It's a new model. It's a lot better than the old models, the real copyright-based models. Like.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Wolbert's podcast. Wolbert's, that's our word. Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's, is from Beastlick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
This is part of how I need it. Sherman wasn't that popular.
Ron Sherman.
Yeah, his Alexa ranking is like 18 million, which is like, that's about one person a day. If you put it this way, I don't have a great Alexa ranking. Freedom Fiends is 1.1 million, which means where the lower is the better. Like Google's Alexa ranking is one. My Freedom Fiends is 1.1 million. Which is still pretty good. That means he gets, 40 or 50 hits on the site. Like 80 or 100 hits on the site per day. But what you have to keep in mind is it's not a site people go to hang out on. It's a site they go to subscribe by nice. iTunes or RSS once and then never go back. You know, we don't have a forum. I barely answer comments on there. I discourage people to put comments on there. So that's pretty good for a podcast-only site. Daily Sheeple, where Lisa works, is huge.
Huge. What's yours, Jeremy? Well, mine is terrible. I just checked. It's like 2 million.
Okay, you're still better than me. The Seeds of Liberty page is 12 million.
Wow.
I've really been oh, by the way, I just want to interject that my cats are weird. Lisa sent me a video of a faked video of a talking cat, and it was a little creepy to me because my cats are becoming like almost sentient. They are they're more handsy. Like when I put down a pencil, they try to pick it up and use it. Like they try to imitate me using tools, which I've never had cats do. I mean, cats will, push stuff with their hand, but they really look like they're trying to pick it up. And this really weird coincidence happened today. I was watching this. There's this amazing documentary on Netflix about design that I highly recommend. It's a Netflix original. And I watched like all six episodes of it or whatever today. It's called Abstract, The Art of Design, and it's like all kinds of industrial designers, and it's like rock star designers, like the photographers are the people who take pictures of rock stars and presidents. And people are gonna say, oh, you're not a real anarchist because you watched a documentary about a photographer that photographed a president. And the graphic design lady they had designed like half the record covers I had as a kid that weren't designed by Hipgnosis, and then like designed the Band-Aid logo and the Microsoft logo. Like these are rock star level people. And amazing documentary, really, really good. Watch it. It's called Abstract, The Art of Design. But this lady who does set design for plays and then kind of graduating to doing like, well, actually still does set design for plays, but does like, the set design for U2 and Beyonce. And she was talking about how Beyonce wanted this thing that like was an interactive thing that looked like the audience had giant hands that were like on the screen, and the singer was behind the screen. Like, and she said it was influenced by when she was a kid. Beyonce, like this lady interviews people about their lives before she does ideas for set designs for her. Oh, and it's got the guy that designed all the Nike shoes, which is pretty cool. But she was talking about how Beyonce said that when she was a kid, she, saw that television preacher who's like, put your hands on the TV and feel the healing power. And Beyonce did it and like felt the the healing power, whether it was real or not. It was like her first kind of semi-spiritual experience or whatever. Hmm. But she says that, and my cat, Beast, the black cat, walks up and gets on his back legs and puts both of his paws on my computer screen. He's never done that. Other Whoa. Cats have done that, like pawed at the screen, like when stuff's moving on it. But this wasn't even moving. It was a woman, a talking head, barely talking, and he was just put his hands on the screen, like right after seconds after she said, you know, the thing about putting the hand on the screen and feeling
Whoa.
The
power. Yeah.
All right, so let's check more Alexa rankings of people. Let's check Christopher Cantwell.
Oh, gosh.
My, I found one that's even worse than the Seeds of Liberty page.
Who is it?
My business page, which gets, like, no traffic whatsoever, doesn't. It says, we don't have enough data to rank this website.
Wow. I'm feeling pretty good about my site right now.
That's what it says. That's less than one a day. That's what it says when you start a blog immediately.
I know. Like I haven't updated it in forever. It still looks like something in, you know.
Well, here's the for like an 1886 AOL homepage. Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, that doesn't mean that much. It's not the measure of a man. Like, you have a very successful business.
Yeah. It's open word of mouth.
You know, the law firm my wife works for doesn't have a website. You know, it's all word of mouth.
Yep.
You don't need websites necessarily. Yep. Unless you're a podcast. And we're on radio. If our internet site went away, we'd still be on radio. Radio. Think about that, people. Real radio.
Real
you know, Cash Newman wrote an article about quote unquote community radio and updated it on Reese soon. We'll see. Stay tuned for more. Worms, kids. It's been a great
Worms.
Show. May your Alexa ranking be low.